Let's welcome Logan Savory, and thanks for your time, Logan. He's the Southland Tribune editor. He's based in Invercargill. Good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Councils, 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 eh? A few ructions at the Invercargill City Council. How do they compare with past efforts?
Well, yeah, probably the last term when the DIA got involved was probably a little bit more intense, but nevertheless, as happens in councils, you always have disagreements, and we appear to have one now between a public one now between a councillor and a mayor. So, yeah, Rhea Bond, who is a first-term councillor, although no stranger to politics, given she's a former New Zealand First MP, she took exception to some language used by Menoba Clark during a TV interview that screened with comedian Guy Williams last week. But it appears the beef between her and the mayor extends right back to the start of the term. So Bond says that that during a meeting with Mayor Clark right at the start of the term, that Clark told her that she effectively could sit there and do nothing during the term because he didn't need her vote. And she went on to say that she was keen to attend that meeting and wanting to pitch for certain roles in the council, but he wasn't interested in taking any of that on board. Now, the mayor has described those comments as outrageous and said he would never tell anyone that he didn't need their vote. And he also backed the people that he appointed to various chairs roles. Now, Clark ran for mayor as a part of a ticket at the last election, which also had four councillors voted in, but Clark says that they have different views on matters, and it wasn't a case of other councillors being sidelined, as Bond has indicated. But Bond's also suggested that she feels that Mayor Clark has returned too quickly following heart surgery. So as you'll recall, that he had a minor heart attack late December, which required surgery early January, and he was back at work on March 11, and but the mayor has said he's taken plenty of medical advice and also takes a great deal of confidence in what his partner Karen thinks, and he's more than confident he's up to the job, and suggests that Bond shouldn't probably be making those comments. Now, on top of all of that, just to add to it, Bond also suggested that the wheels were starting to fall off a little at the council with about 18 months to go. Now, again, Clark disagreed with that assessment. He says that while there's some touchy moments, which comes with democracy, he believes that the council's operating pretty well. He's pointed to the forecasted rate rise of about 9%, which I guess in normal terms would seem quite a lot, but considering that's probably lower than most councils in New Zealand, he's pointing to that as being a success for the council.
All right, so a bit of tension there. Yes, I'm aware that he was continuing to defend his use of a certain word in full,
yes,
in that TV interview, so that probably hasn't helped the tension between them, but it seems to go a little bit deeper. 18 months out, so that's a long time till the next election. Are there any other signs of things on the move in the council, Logan, or do you think this is mainly between the two of them?
Well, no, it appears the politics have started a little earlier than most in Invercargill. So Deputy Mayor Tom Campbell, he's already stated that he plans to run for the mayor at the next election, which isn't until October 2025. Current Mayor Nobby Clark has indicated he will not stand. But so Campbell, he was previously the general manager of the aluminium smelter at Tiwai Point, and he comes from a pretty extensive governance and management background, but he stepped into local government politics at the last election, so he's a first-term councillor, but he filled in as the mayor while Nobby Clark was recovering from that heart surgery, and Campbell says he was constantly sort of asked during that time, or of late, if he would stand for mayor next election. And he initially said he was telling people he would decide at the end of this year. But in his own mind, he'd already made up the decision that, yes, he would have a crack at the mayor's job in 2024. So he says he wasn't comfortable continuing to say that he wasn't, that he hadn't made up his mind when he in fact had. So, which is why he has made a somewhat early announcement, considering how long we've still got to go and to get through the current term.
Yes, indeed. Okay, well, halfway through. Let's have a look at a bit further up the road in Gore District, some antisocial behaviours causing concern. How so?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably, Matilda is probably not isolated in some youth behaviour issues at times, but, you know, the Gore District Council and the Matilda Community Board representatives, they're planning to meet with police in the Hokanoa Yurunanga this week to work on a solution to what they say is antisocial behaviour of youth in the small Southland town. So the council says there's been some ongoing issues with young people loitering outside the Matilda Library and Service Centre after school hours and intimidating staff and customers and whatnot. And it came to a head last week when it took a pretty big stance, and they decided to actually close the library at 2:30 p.m. each day before
2:30.
Yeah,
it's an early bedtime, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So the reason.
What time did it normally close?
Well, I believe it was on to. Yeah, work hours, effectively.
4 or 5 o'clock or something
like
that.
Yes,
is this indicating that it's school kids or what?
Yes, so it is, yeah. So what there seems to be a problem is that the free Wi-Fi at the library seems to be a real attraction to the youth, which is not necessarily a bad thing. You want them using it, but it feels that they're not just sort of converging on there to do study after school or whatnot. They're intimidating staff, and they tell me in the town of Matilda that Eve, the library system, is a bit of a local icon. So there's a fair bit of anger and people fed up with some of the behaviour, so which is why they've taken this step and to try find a solution. And I guess probably small towns or everyone across the country is trying to grapple with that, isn't it? Trying to encourage our youth and look after them, but also, I guess...
You've got to look after the staff. Does Gore have many facilities for their kids? Is there another place they can gather with a nice, chunky Wi-Fi feed?
Yeah, so Matera is a pretty small town.
Matera, of course, forgive me.
Out of Gore. Gore's quite close, but Matera is... a small town with effectively the library and the service centre. There's an events centre, but yes, there's limited
skateboard
options.
Park and stuff like that.
They have got different parks. Unfortunately, the pool that was in the community is now gone or on the way out. So that was a bit of a blow for the town. But the town of Matera has had its tough times because it was it once had the paper mill there, with that closed, and the meatworks has scaled back considerably over the years. So the town has had its issues in terms of keeping up with employment opportunities for the town and therefore the various other opportunities. It's an issue that they're grappling with.
Yeah, indeed. But sometimes just... one of the ways to help out with that stuff is to have a place for the kids to go.
Exactly.
But as you say, the Wi-Fi is probably the main attraction there. It makes many people very, very happy, especially when it's a good and productive season. How are the oysters shaping up this year?
Yeah, not too bad. As you said, they always a pretty nice time of the year to get a bluff oyster, and they have been... shipping them right up to the top of the North Island and everywhere around. So not too bad by all accounts. And the great news, though, and all of it, is that the Bluff Oyster and Food Festival is going to be back this year. And it's a huge boost for Bluff and the wider Southland province, to be fair. But they attract many visitors to the town. There's often plane loans actually come from Auckland to attend the event.
Of course there are.
Actually, it's probably more popular than people in other town than in town. But anyway, it hasn't gone ahead since 2021. And firstly, it was COVID restrictions halted it. But last year, the event didn't go ahead because there's an historic building on the festival site, which was in a state of disrepair, and there was safety concerns about holding an event there at the time with the state of that building. And organisers initially indicated that if they simply cut off that area, the festival site, in the festival site, it just wouldn't make sense. They wouldn't be able to sell enough tickets to make it worthwhile. So,
has it gone now then, the old the Bluff Club Hotel, has it gone?
Well, it is going, yes. It's on. It'll be gone by the time May 25 rolls around, which is the date of the next Oyster Festival. So they have got consent to demolish it.
Be replaced by stampeding Aucklanders.
Well, yeah, right. I guess he's a little disappointed that a building like that hadn't been left into a state of disrepair when, it would be nice to save some of these buildings.
Yeah, part of history, yeah? Who were the owners, super quickly?
So the festival site owned the building, and, it had been left empty for a long time. By all accounts, had problems with the roof, ended up getting water damage, and unfortunately over the years it wasn't.
It is no more. Thank you, Logan Savory in Southland.